Luke chapter 20. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, But why then believed ye him not? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. So here they are trying to catch him. You will notice that in the way that they answer his question, they reveal their intent in their question. They see immediately, because they know the technique all too well, that if they answer one way, he'll say one thing. If they answer the other way, he'll say the other. And they similarly had no doubt prepared ahead of time. Well, if he says my authority comes from God, we'll say this. If he says my authority comes from men, we'll say that. So in asking this question, Jesus is reflecting back at them their own scheme and revealing to them their own corruption. And since they won't answer his question, he won't answer their question. Well, if you're not going to answer that, then I won't answer. Verse 9. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen, so that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent the third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy those husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. In Greek, the term God forbid is, may it never be, me genoito. And the Hebrew equivalent is, chalila, which is the opposite of amen. Now I'm saying, oh, that's terrible. That's such a thing. I don't know that it indicates an understanding of the parable like, Oh, God, don't come and destroy those men. Or if he's saying it may never be that this is the way the world is. You know what I mean? In the sense of that they should kill the heir. They didn't believe in Christ. You know, when they crucified him, they weren't saying in their hearts, we're killing God's son so that we can take the inheritance for ourselves. Because, remember, there isn't always a one-to-one correspondence between the parables and between reality. The parables are saying something about a reality. I mean, this is what they are in fact doing. They are taking the Son and crucifying him. They are taking the Son and putting him to death, thinking to possess Israel. Now, they don't necessarily think that he's the Son, but the effect is the same. You know, if let's say they didn't know it was the son, it makes it more wicked that they knew it was the man's son in the parable. Yeah, it's more wicked to knowingly take someone's son and put him to death. But to just well, we'll just kill this person randomly isn't exactly a consolation either. And the results are the same. The husbandmen, of course, represent those to whom God commits His word, His promises, the things which pertain to His kingdom. In the Old Testament, that was the nation Israel. Now, in our time, this is the word of God. The message of the gospel is committed to men. And they are to bring forth fruit to God from the vineyard. And He sends forth prophets to collect. But when they come, when the prophets come, you know, it is not merely a simple act of murder, like, though there is a lot of murder, but what it is the prophets come with a message. You're not doing this right. It's as if they came and they said, husbandmen, you're not doing the vineyard right. But they're profiting from it. It's just the Lord isn't profiting from it. They come with a message of rebuke, and they get them scorn. He sent the prophets, rising and sending them early. The former prophets, the latter prophets. Different groups of prophets. And then in Jesus' time, John the Baptist finally. And then finally, the Son of God Himself. And He will come and destroy those husbandmen. In their generation, the men of Jesus' generation paid the price for rejecting Christ. Their city was destroyed within the same generation. Within 40 years. So that certainly came true for them. But also, those who handle the word of God today, prophets are going to come. And in the past, you think of the history of the Catholic Church, when people have questioned the Catholic Church, how were they treated? Heretics. Burn them. They go, Paul, you talk about burning things. Yeah, well, I'm talking about burning with the fire of God proceeding out of a miracle. The thing is, you know, when you put a man to death who's innocent, it's a tragedy. But when you put a man to death who's guilty, it's justice. That's what some people have never understood. I understand people oppose the death penalty because a lot of innocent people are put to death because our justice system is so imperfect. And I certainly sympathize with that view. But in principle, the idea of someone who is guilty being punished with death is right. Whereas someone who is innocent to be punished with death is a terrible evil. And so it is also when someone accused of heresy is not a heretic, but they're being put to death by heretics is a great evil. But when those same heretics have a prophet sent to them with power,